I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are Petrovsky.
He's my big, my Petrovsky and my Burger. He is my Aiden.
He's my Aiden.
Baby boy, do not ever leave me. You are my love. You're my one love in life, my cutie.
Burger.
He is not my Burger. He has no Burger in him.
No. Francesca was your Burger.
Francesca was my Burger. To Craigslist you go.
To Craigslist.
You are my Petrovsky, my Big. You're my Mr. Big.
Look at him. He's just looking at you as
you talk
to him.
Look, you're my Mr. Big. Let us get married.
Let us get married.
Let's get a big apartment. Let me get a closet for my shoes. You give me a shoe. We get married at City Hall, my baby.
He approved.
He is big.
He really is.
He's my soulmate.
Wait, did you see Peloton's stock crash because of Sex and the City? That's their power.
Their power.
Their
also,
impact.
That made me want a Peloton. I've actually never wanted a Peloton more than after seeing Mr. Pig.
Miss Piggy. Mr. Piggy.
After seeing Mr. Pig die on Peloton, I was like, I want one.
I just love that their cultural cachet is free.
They will tank a company.
That's like when, remember
Michael Patrick King said, enough, we have got to take Peloton down, how will we do it? And the writers said, together we will band and take them the fuck down. Peloton's going to sue them, I think.
I know.
I thought it was great SponCon.
They're really upset about it. I saw the statement of the CEO.
No, the CEO.
It was like, the CEO of Peloton took to paper. And he said, we are all really sad about Mr. Big's passing. But like, then he shaded Mr. Big and was like, it's probably something in his gene, like his health habits and family history.
You're talking about a fictional character.
And he goes, Peloton actually probably prolonged his life.
True. Cardio is really good for you.
Yeah. No, I mean,
When your time's up, it's up.
Death doesn't
care if you're Pelotoning or not.
The Grim Reaper and his scythe pointed at Mr. Big and said, it is time.
Tonight we go.
Tonight we ride. And then I am obsessed with, it's like, well, it's kind of like when Oprah, I think she criticized some kind of specific brand of meat.
And then she tanked the meat.
She did. She tanked the meat market.
Love that.
Like that kind of power.
That's true power.
The lady still got it.
When you can affect the stock market, that is, I want to affect the stock market.
Mr. Big disrupting the stocks even post-mortem.
Well, now is probably the time to buy Peloton stock.
Yeah.
Because it's dipped and it will go back up. I mean, I don't think anyone's like not buying Pelotons anymore.
But it is like, it's just like a weird, I don't know. I've never done Peloton, but like the culture around it is like fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
Like that guy, that gay, Cody Risby or whatever.
Like the instructor?
He's like a celebrity now.
Yeah, there are Peloton celebs. The woman who does her like pony.
Yeah. There's also like a lesbian couple.
Spin instructors have been like celebrities for years. Like there are certain SoulCycle instructors that were like celebs in the LA area.
But now SoulCycle's tanked, I think, from...
I think that it's happening still, but it ain't what it used to be.
No, and I think, well, I think Peloton and the pandemic
really... Peloton snatched their wigs.
It did.
It did.
It was made...
And then Sex and the City snatched
They ripped their spines out.
Fucking ripped their...
Mortal Kombat
style. Mortal Kombatted Peloton.
Yeah.
Also, Peloton didn't know that they were going to be used that way. So they were like, sure, you can like... Because I think you have to get a sign off to even use the trademark, like logo, and maybe even say the name Peloton. And then they were like, sure, we would love nothing more. We'd be honored to be in Sex and the City. And then... Their wigs
and
were
just like that.
And just their wigs, like that.
Their wigs were snatched. Wait, I'm...
Snatched for your life.
Snatched for your life.
Patrick King said to Peloton.
Within an inch of your life, I'll bring you to your knees.
Run for your life, Peloton.
He had a bad experience with Peloton.
Yeah, who hurt him at
who
Peloton?
Did Cody Rigsby hurt Michael Patrick King?
Yeah, I want to know. Like, I want a deep dive podcast, like true crime style, on like Peloton versus MPK.
Yeah, the his. I want like a herbal of
herbal and verbal history.
Like a long read history of like this beef
on like the fucking feud of the century.
I want the long read on the Kim Cattrall SJP feud.
There's a book out now that someone wrote about like the history of HBO, and it talks about like every show, and I think it goes into it has 10 pages on Sex and the City. It talks about the Kim versus SJP of it all.
So it was like a famous feud on the set.
Yeah, I think it was like, I mean, the Origins podcast kind of touched on it too, which if you haven't listened to, you're not a fan of Sex and the City, truly. I'm looking at you. You better push play, Carrie O'Donnell.
You better push play.
Do not make me cry.
Don't make me cry.
And, but it's really good. Like, if you love Sex and the City, you must listen.
Who hosts it?
It's just oral history. It's like... literally interviews every single person except for Kim Cattrall. She refused.
Damn.
Kim, give the people what they want.
I have to say I see both sides.
Oh, I get it, but I'm also like...
No, but I see like I'm also on SJP side too.
Yeah. I'm
on Kim's side and SJP side.
I love both of them. I want nothing but happiness for both of them, but I'm also like, I think after a certain point, you kind of owe it to your fans to like do what's right.
It's rude to us.
And give the, it's truly like the only people that are really being hurt now by Kim not being in Sex and the City are you and I and every single fan of the show.
Also, the show's not, it's not
for the
critics.
The walls.
This show is not for the critics.
No, it's certainly not. The critics have spoken.
It's for
and
us.
And it's literally a million thumbs down.
It's for us.
But I'm two thumbs
up. Oh, I'm two thumbs up too.
Two thumbs, pussy, and butthole up.
I love the show, but it's also like, it's for the fans. Just give the fans what they want. Give the gays what they want. AKA the gays and the girls.
Yeah. The gays and the girls,
we've been through a lot.
We've been through a lot. We've gotten nothing.
We've
had nothing to look forward to. And yeah, this is like the one thing that truly there was to live for.
What's that HBO, what's the SNL sketch that Julio Torres wrote, The Well?
What's that?
The woman, it's like, it's a play well for your like future gay son where he can go on and make a wish on the well. And it's like, and then Emma Stone plays the mom and she goes, and the straight kid goes, I don't get it. And she goes, not everything is for you.
Yeah, this is specifically for the gays and the women.
We need it.
We crave it. We
and I need
it.
Kim. Just stop what you're doing. Come back from Look, Liverpool.
Come
and-
get over the... Fly over the pond. Come back to the US of A.
I mean, we know that...
She was in New York, too, while they were filming the show. And she was Instagramming with abandon, which made me maybe think. I got to thinking.
Okay, I have false hope. But, like, the fact that she remains such an integral part of the narrative in these episodes...
They want her back.
It makes me think that maybe... Just maybe there will be some kind of...
I feel a tingle, and I feel like I do actually have psychic abilities with Sex and the City and the universe of Sex and the City and all involved. So I'm saying right now, I'm calling it that she will be back.
It could be very tight-lipped.
She might not come back. It might not be this season.
It might not,
be next season.
It might not be.
She will return.
I'm just saying. Even if we just see
a woman. Even if you just had Sharon Stone.
Even if you just
see a hand texting.
No, but even if I just see like a woman with blonde hair, like, strutting down the street and from the back, mm-hmm. I would be like, oh my God,
she's in it.
There's Samantha. I just want to see that.
Yeah.
Sharon Stone could just assume.
I think Kim will be back.
Okay.
I'm calling it.
I mean, you can't have her like send the flowers for Big's funeral, which we'll talk about in this.
Yeah.
So I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to Soxy.
Soxy Unique Podcast.
Soxy Unique Podcast.
They did that.
I also love when I've been recently, people have been asking, like, who I've just met, like, who don't know the pod, mm-hmm. there's still a lot of people.
Unfortunately, there's a ton of people out there that don't know about the pod.
But they go, when I explain it to them, and they go, what's the name? And I say, Sexy Unique Podcast. And they go, Sex Unique Podcast? And I'm like, Sexy Unique Podcast. What I was going to say was,
I'm waiting with breath bated to see what you will say. Please speak.
Oh, speaketh. I was going to bring up the TWA flight that Kim was supposed to be on that blew up over Lockerbie.
Honestly, that's a sign that you need to come back to Sex and the City.
Can you imagine if we were deprived of Samantha?
No. Wait, we're in it now. We are deprived of
her. I think everyone knows the story, right?
Yeah. Okay. You've told it on the pod.
Okay.
Do you want to tell it again?
You know who could have been a great Samantha?
Who?
Big Ange. Big Ange got her boobs measured in an episode I watched last night, and they're J's.
Wow.
Power.
She is doing it. She was doing the damn thing. I know. She still is.
Yeah, this episode was fine.
This episode,
it was really dreary.
The funeral was really sad. That funeral, I don't think Big would have liked that funeral.
I was so uncomfortable by Carrie in that funeral.
I've been to like an art world meets comedy show that was like that exact setting.
But with comedians?
Yeah. And it reminded me of like going to like a comedy show.
Like at the Guggenheim?
Yeah. It was like alt comedy and the art world come together in like a very stark space with a PowerPoint. It was like, I laughed when Carrie goes, thank God for those lesbians.
Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was funny. There were some good lines. I liked when, so we get to the funeral.
Well, first Miranda, this is where like Miranda's son is just plowing, right?
Brady and his girlfriend he's like, ride it, cowgirl. And they're 17 and they're like plowing in the room, and the wall is literally vibrating. And Miranda and Steve are just sitting in bed watching the news. And she's like, can you believe this? And Steve's like, what? And she's like, well, you can't even hear it. So they're fucking, that's not okay though. It's Samantha style fucking in the next room. And I don't know how these kids are doing it today, but my parents would have never been okay with that.
No, I was having visceral memories of literally getting discovered having sex with my crush by his parents in his house, and them being like, you guys have to stop and you have to go. And us being drunk and just like continuing to plow to the point where his dad like ripped the covers off of us and was like, get out of here. And we were both like drunk on Jaeger.
Whoa.
That would, this like sex positive please, by all means, like, suck and fuck in the house was not at all my experience growing up.
Yeah, it was. I'm just like very, the boundaries in that household are a little blurred.
You would think that, like, you want like discretion.
Yeah, I wouldn't want my
wouldn't want my mom to hear me getting like banged out next door.
Knowing my parents, it's like literally makes me.
Yeah, it's not a turn on.
In my house, I'm just like, I don't want them to even know I have sex. Well.
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to have sex in your parents' house, like the whole thing, the hottest thing is like, we have to be really quiet so no one hears us.
Yeah, it's like Brady's.
That's sexy.
It's also just like, Brady, you're rude.
I think he's like neurodivergent because of this. I was like, you are like not picking up on
cues
and what they're throwing down.
And Miranda's like, she basically like throws like a computer at Steve to get him to pay attention. He goes, what?
She's abusing Steve.
Huh? And then he gets the call from Carrie.
And then
Carrie, he goes, it's Carrie. Why is she calling on the landline? Miranda goes, rushes over. And then Carrie answers the door.
Big's just in a body bag.
Yeah, you see him in the background getting wheeled out. And she goes, what do I do? And Miranda's like, well, I think you bring him to the morgue. And she goes, no, I mean me. It's like,
bitch, that's a good question.
Such a Carrie line.
I know, that was like classically Care.
So the whole thing is like them planning the funeral.
And like the girls are spending the night at her house, which was nice.
In shifts. Carrie and Charlotte go funeral shopping. They go to this one like Upper East Side stuffy place. And Charlotte breaks down. First of all, Carrie's like, Big would hate this. It's like old and stuffy and reeks of death.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
And then Charlotte starts crying and she thinks that Carrie's blamed her for why she wasn't with Big when he died.
Yeah. And Charlotte's really losing her shit. And then like the woman comes, the funeral mistress comes into the room.
Death's mistress
strolls in and she's like, I'm so sorry for your loss to Charlotte. And then she's like, oh no, I'm not the wife. Like, Carrie's the wife.
And she's like, but you're so calm.
Yeah, Carrie's very emotionless. She's still just like grief-stricken, still processing.
Carrie was more upset when Big left her at the altar.
Yeah. She's also probably just used to being failed by Big at this point, so it's like another...
Well, I was waiting for that moment where, like, when Samantha spoon feeds her yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie's like...
She's, like, in Mexico in a full fur.
But when is that happening? I was like, she's... I guess this is how she's reacting.
It feels kind of real, true to... Grief. It's like you're in shock. You have to get through. Like, you have to... I can't even imagine what it would be like to, like, you have to, like, then plan a funeral for the love of your life.
Yeah.
I'm you like, go into you like are a, strong for that.
Yeah, Carrie has to go into, like...
Go mode.
Disassociate a little.
This is her Jackie moment.
It is her very... It's her... I mean... Stanford refers to her as their Jackie Kennedy.
Yeah, that was true. She was serving.
She's basically starting to like realize that Charlotte's annoying.
Psycho.
And she can't really handle having her around right now because Charlotte just bursts into tears.
Charlotte is frantic energy. She's Mary's frantic energy selling Sunset Dog Party vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you can't have that when Big dies.
Playing dumb. What?
What?
Is she upset about me?
Is she mad right now?
She was wearing, by the way, in that moment, Christina from Selling Sunset was wearing that brand that like Chloe and
Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Yeah, Dorit wears. Is that who makes that? That jumpsuit with like the
maybe
Renaissance looking.
I don't know if they make it, but it kind of looked like that. Yeah. But I loved that Renaissance corset.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I fucking love Christine. I ride or fucking die for the chaos that she brings to that show. I think she is an incredible like liar, but I'm not mad at it.
She's housewives material.
She is. She's housewives level, and she knows it. She does it on purpose.
I think she's gunning for like a housewives.
She's one of the best artist, like modern day performance artists of our generation.
Wearing a fake baby bump.
Truly, when she hopped on the bed, I was like, this is fake.
Yeah.
She and Jason are like walking around that house and she goes, and I was like, you're literally about to give birth tomorrow. I've been around 9-month pregnant women and they don't hop like that. No. You don't jiggle your baby up like a little milkshake. You have a full-fledged human in your body. Yeah. You can't, like, launch.
She's also skinny, skinny, skinny.
So thin.
So thin. And then she
does upside-down yoga with a bump. Then she's saying she had a harrowing childbirth where she almost died. And, like, 2 days later, she was hosting, like, a show.
And then her husband had to make the choice, either one or the other.
She goes, as I was going out, I heard a nurse go, you must choose one or the other, right before she went under.
2 days after giving birth, she has a completely flat tummy.
She's a completely flat tummy and a C-section, which takes you, like, you can't, like, really move around, like, get up and down. She was hosting, like, an E! News, like, red carpet show. I'm obsessed with the Reddit thread of, like, the Christine Trutherism baby bum.
Maya claims to have seen the scar. The C-section scar. So maybe I saw that and I was like, okay, maybe she's talking.
Who's
to
Maya?
Israeli.
The Gwyneth conduit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love
the silence
Maya.
Of the lamb.
She's Maya's also a shit fucking stirrer.
Totally.
In a great way. She can't stop getting pregnant.
The other one, the new one from Mexico.
Vanessa, I fucking love
her. I love
Vanessa.
Her, but she's unstable energy. She always, and every time something, she's done something wrong, she immediately starts crying. And then everyone goes, oh no, it's okay. It's fine.
I was dying at her like real estate origin story. They were like, how did you get into real estate? And she's like, my sister tragically died, and she said on her deathbed, I want you to sell real estate. And then she was weeping, and then everyone else was weeping. And I was like, this is
She was a soap
powerful.
Opera. She was a soap opera. She did like telenovela.
She's doing incredible work.
No, she was like a legit soap opera star
No,
in Mexico.
I know. She's famous. But she continues. The work continues.
Anyway, back to our other girls. So they go to the space, and it's like They go to Spain.
España.
And the funeral's being held at like a chic gallery in Chelsea, like art district.
By some just like two glasses wearing power lesbians who plan chic funerals.
Yeah. And
thank God for the lesbians.
They get there and it's very stark. Carrie wants totally minimal, like very big. And then on the casket,
beautiful flower arrangement. Cascading
flowers.
Down.
And SJP said, I said no flowers. And the lesbians are like, we know they came right after we hung up with you.
And she goes, they came with a note.
And Carrie goes, well, who sent them? And then she takes the note and it says, love Samantha. In non handwriting.
I gasped. Samantha is in the... She is a... Well, I bid you farewell to that night.
And then...
She is a character in the show, whether she cares to be or not.
And then Carrie goes, the flowers stay. Because classic Samantha, she always gets it right.
She fucking knows what's up.
She's a publicist.
But also, when you brought this up in the last episode, she would have at least called.
She would have come to the funeral.
Or texted.
No, she would have come to the funeral. Samantha was a... She would have come. She would have gotten on a plane and come. I swear, I really believe that.
So it just does feel weird to have her totally gone.
It makes me think like she's been murdered and someone who the person who murdered her is just like pretending that she's still like living. Like that's how the levels
this
of
should
like,
turn true crime.
Yeah, the levels of and then her podcast.
They're gonna have to kill her though. Like she doesn't come back, they really do just need to kill her.
I think
and
they should
have a Samantha funeral so that we can all just as fans get closure.
I think they should have done that in the show.
Yeah.
Just start off with a banger Samantha funeral. Like
I was rooting for that would have felt right. Either like the cancer came back, but I do think they know that they want to keep the door open. I like Kim stringing them along with a will she or won't she, but I think eventually she does have to be like the answer is truly no.
Make a decision, Kim. I'm looking at you right in the eye.
Kim, but also just do it.
Just do it for
Look,
us.
We fucking
Please.
Love you. We need you.
We need
this isn't
you,
about,
queen.
This is
it's
no longer about SJP or MPK.
No, it's about us.
This is about Carrie and I fucking asking you
You're doing
from
it.
The bottom of our hearts to do at least just one episode.
You're doing it for all the gays of the world.
Do you understand
the
joy that you will bring to the masses? By doing this, and you'll also make a shitload of money.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win.
Go off.
Work
we're
sometimes
looking,
is
we're
about...
We're looking right in the camera.
Yeah. Work sometimes is about having to deal with people you don't want to deal with. Sorry, but that's how it is.
Be a pro. You'll get a producer credit.
Yeah. You'll probably money. Get nominated. Mm-hmm. People want to right the wrongs.
Do it, Kim.
Do it for us, please.
Anyway, so she... Sends the flowers. Carrie's like, they'll stay. Miranda and Carrie, Charlotte are like, this is good, right? And then the funeral starts off without a hitch. And then Miranda books it to the bar.
Old Chablis over here.
Chablis Hobbs walks over.
Someone commented on the Patreon. They were like, please stop the Chablis hate. Chablis is actually from a great region of France. It's an oaked Chardonnay. Okay. It's delicious. And I love, like, the ambassador of Chablis herself made it known that we need to stop the Chablis hate.
Yeah.
So to you, I say sorry, but not
it's,
sorry.
It's because, not good.
Because no one... Chablis is a sign of true alcoholism.
I'm a hater.
It will always be.
I'm a hater towards winos.
There was also this, the guy that wrote that book. Remember the guy that wrote the addiction book, but then he was outed for like making up some of it. A million tiny pieces.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He wrote a really, really good fiction novel about like...
That's good. It's good he did that.
He did that. He wrote a really good, like just a pure fiction that takes place in LA, and it's like a lot of different people living in LA. I want to reread it because I really loved it, and I can't remember what the name is, but you guys should all read it. It's really good. But there's a character in it that I think is like a homeless drunk man that's obsessed with Chablis, and Chablis was his downfall, and that's always been my association with Chablis ever since. And
like
I,
under the bridge kind of.
Yeah, he was just it's a love letter to Chablis from a Chablis alcoholic, and that's Miranda at this point.
Miranda books it in this like very, this cater waiter who has a pixie cut and looks like she's in Star Trek.
She goes,
Miranda goes, "Ah, the Chablis." And she goes, "Ugh, we're not serving till after the funeral." And she goes, "Well, it's okay because I'm family and my husband supplied all the alcohol from his bar. I'll take a Chablis, please." And the woman's like, "Okay." And she goes to open it. And she goes, "You know what? I have to do a reading really quick. So why don't we just make it really fast? And I'll just have a straight bourbon."
She goes, "Yeah. Easy breezy." Sucks down brown liquor at 10 a.m.
Well, then she goes, "But I am reading really quickly." So I was like, damn, they are really pushing this along.
Miranda is spiraling. She's awful to everyone.
She's spiraling into alcoholic madness.
Her thing that she's doing is reminding me of Frances McDormand's character in Friends with Money, how she's like so depressed and won't wash her hair and she's like raging at everyone. It's like
and her husband's
gay.
Mm-hmm.
But except in this situation, her husband's slowly succumbing to
dementia,
early onset Alzheimer's, and she's spiraling into the grips of alcoholism.
And her son is having sex before her very eyes.
Her son is literally like, I'm sorry, but that's Oedipal or something. If
it
you're
is.
Fucking so loudly that both your parents can hear, you're literally trying to fuck your parents.
Yeah, he wants to have a devil's throughway with his parents.
He wants to have an orgy with him, his girlfriend who still hasn't spoken a word, and Steve and Miranda. He wants to get Eiffel Towered. He wants to Eiffel Tower his mother with Steve. There's also a weird moment where Steve and Miranda are in the closet. And Steve's like, why did he ride that Peloton that killed him? And Miranda's like, anything could have happened. And Brady comes in and they're like, Brady, come give us a hug. And he's like, I don't want to.
And he's like, yeah, well, your mom and I need one.
We're having a moment,
son. We're having a moment. So he comes
over.
And
then that's when Brady thinks, like, maybe it's my time. I guess I'll hug him. This is how it happens.
He just slips his little dick out.
Brady's a sex pest.
He's a staunch sex pest.
Sex pest. Brady Hobbs.
Colin Scotland Yard. We've got a sex pest at Colin.
We've got a sex pest on the lamb.
We've got...
Brady is truly the sex pest.
We've got a sex pest fapping his way through King's Cross Station in Paddington.
Sex pest in the city. That's Brady,
he's
on the lam.
He's a literal 70s sex pest.
He is in a trench coat, just yurking it at every passerby.
Oh my God, he's yurking off.
He's yurking off in the alley. It's a sex pest, Brady Hobbs.
Yeah, well, come on over. Your mom and I need some love.
Your mom and I need some of that redhead dick.
Brady's like, damn, hell yeah. So we get to the future. So then, yeah, they're all happy. Samantha sent, and then the...
Miranda does a reading.
That was like kind of... It was awkward.
She said someone was like, thank you to the writers of Sex and the City for having Miranda say big hole at the reading.
Carrie wrote the reading, but made Miranda read it.
That's weird.
And then Miranda, it felt, I was like, is she drunk? Are they trying? Is she gonna?
I thought she was gonna fall.
Yeah, she was like, and who? Aren't
he
we lucky?
He left a big hole.
He left a big.
He left a big gaping hole.
Fuck hole.
He left a gaping rosebud where our assholes once were. I truly thought she was going to fall over and like break her teeth off on the altar.
And then you see Big Secretary, who like also might have dementia.
She seems like a little bit drunk.
Yeah, and she seems like skittish almost around Carrie. Wait, I was confused on the Sharon.
Susan Sharon.
Yeah, what was that again?
Well, we'll get to her. But okay. First, let's talk Secretary.
Secretary.
Secretariat.
Gloria.
Gloria the Secretary and Gary. Gary Bradshaw.
Gary Bradshaw goes up to her and she's like, hi, hello. She's like, you knew him better than anyone. And she's like, oh, he was one of a kind, Carrie.
I sure did. He kept me on when all the other men fired their girls.
They're
I was like
gals.
Having Mad Men vibes. Yeah. She's then, literally Peggy from Mad Men.
She's like, but Carrie, you know, we're going to have to meet soon because we got some things to go over.
There's paperwork. Paperwork. Then Gloria tries to sit front row and Stanford, the terrorist, takes her, like,
that was
kicks her
but
out.
That whole thing was weird. I was like, is she drunk? Is she...
What does she know?
What does she know? Like, is she...
She knows something.
Is she his mom?
Maybe.
Did she fuck his older brother and they had him and they're actually his parents?
Let's talk about the brother.
Let's talk about
let's
the brother.
Talk about the
let's
brother.
Talk about the brother because I want his brother to...
You want him balls deep.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
He's fucking hot. He was in he was in Gossip Girl. He played Nate Archibald's grandfather, Vanderbilt.
Old Gossip Girl.
Old Gossip Girl. Not the new one, the old one.
No, he's sexy. It was weird, though, to see. It's always weird when you see family members of the cast of Sex and the City. It feels uncanny and unnatural.
Yeah, they're not really supposed to have family members.
Like, the main, I guess, like...
Except Miranda when her mom died.
Yeah, but even that was weird. I feel like I read also in one of the, like, behind-the-scenes Sex and the City books that I have, where even the writers at the time were like, we really struggled with, like, how do we introduce these these characters, like families. It always felt weird. And like, remember Charlotte's brother that Samantha fucked?
Yeah, but also Miranda, they did that well with her mom dying.
Yeah. When we've never met a single family member of Gary's.
Gary has no family.
She was just born in these streets.
I would like to see
Gary's mother or father.
Yeah.
Or like a brother. Yeah, like who?
Where were they at the funeral?
Yeah, she literally has zero family.
Yeah. Did they like, were they just like...
Did they disown her?
They disowned her in the 80s when she wanted to move to New York.
Is she from like a Mormon family?
Yeah, they literally like...
They're nowhere to be found.
You would think like a parent would come to their child spouse's funes. Maybe they're dead.
Yeah.
Maybe she inherited money and took that money and ran.
What is the truth?
Did she kill her parents?
I want things to take like a dark true crime.
Mm-hmm. Her podcast with Shay becomes a true crime.
Shay comes to the funeral, which I was like,
Carrie's like, Shay, you didn't have to come. And she's like, nah, it's someone you loved.
And she's also like, great chance for me to openly smoke a bowl, which she continues to do.
Yeah.
Again, no one smokes weed. This is not how one smokes weed in public.
And then they're like talking to Carrie and they're like something, something they make. And Carrie kind of goes, huh. And she goes, thanks for making me laugh. And she goes, well, technically it was a little smile. She goes, I'm a stand up. I notice these things. I was just like, okay, I get it. You're doing a tight 10 everywhere.
Ooh, everything she says is in reference to her being a stand-up. And I'm also like, no comedians actually talk like that either.
Yeah.
Shay really.
She's like, later when she confronts Miranda, she's like, or they, sorry. They're like, no, I can think of a tight 10 though in about 5 minutes. Like, oh my God, this person.
No more tight 10s.
But I will say that
I
actually enjoyed her in this episode. Enjoyed them.
Come around.
I was into them. I thought their chemistry with Miranda was like palpable.
Mm-hmm. So Shay is chiefing bowls outside the funeral.
Again, braids.
Completely inappropriate. She gives Brady a hit and Miranda discovers her her sex pest son smoking a bowl and flips her fucking shit.
Yeah, she screams like she's never screamed before. She's Chablis or bourbon drunk.
Yeah. She's this just, is the brown liquor talking.
Yeah, she's just yelling. It's like, this is your best friend's.
She doesn't know who Shay is at the time, but she's also like, just keep, you're at a funeral. Just keep it together.
I know, it's your best friend's husband's funeral. Like, don't.
Old drunk. Randa. Old Randy.
Old Chablis Hobbs. So then she reprimands Shay, who, like, to their credit, is, like, handling it very well.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, like, a big blowout fight.
No, and Shay's just kind of like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I, like...
She's like, you can't give drugs to a minor.
And she's like, I didn't know he was a minor. Like, it's all good, lady. Like, don't freak out. And
yeah.
She's like, slow your roll.
And Brady's like, God, Mom, you're so embarrassing. And she's like, just you. A little bit of weed.
She's like, you can't put your dick in your girlfriend's pussy for a week. You have to do it in mine.
Which I was like, ah! I know. Like, no, like taking away his fuck doll for a week. His fleshlight.
He's like, oh, fuck, I'm going to go fuck, like, he's going to go, like.
He's going to go just fuck a pie. This is American Pie 4, where he just is.
He's like, I might go crazy.
He's going to jizz all over her house now.
Maybe this is how they keep Brady from, like.
Killing them in their sleep. Shooting up. School shooting. They're like, you can fuck Andrea. They just keep. Louisa, they just keep giving him fleshlights and girlfriends. Like, Brady probably has a suitcase full of various fleshlights.
God, used. So then Miranda's like, I'm sorry. Are you? He goes, I'm sad, Mom. I just wanted to hit. And she goes, well, maybe I should just kill myself and you can smoke crack.
That's Chablis Hobbs speaking.
And then...
Then she storms off and lo and behold, Carrie's talking to Shay. And Carrie goes, this is my boss, the host of my podcast that... Also, someone brought this up to me last night. We were talking about Sex and the City, and they made a really good point where they were like, Miranda would listen to podcasts.
I know!
Miranda's definitely not the type of woman that does not ever listen. She would at least listen to The Daily.
She listened to NPR, New York Times. Like, yeah, exactly. She's like...
And she would listen to, like, true crime podcasts.
Yeah, she loved
Jules and Mimi. She listens to podcasts.
She's like, I draw the line at podcasts. I'm like, no, you don't.
I feel like Charlotte wouldn't listen to podcasts because she maybe doesn't have the time.
Or doesn't know how to do
it. Like, Samantha wouldn't listen to podcasts.
No.
And that would have been actually a good thing where it's like, they could have been like, she didn't even listen to my podcast or something like that.
She didn't read the column or listen to the podcast.
Yeah, and like Miranda definitely listens to The Daily.
Yeah. So then she meets Shay and Shay's like, it's all good. Like you were just protecting.
You're a mama bear. She's like, you're a mama bear and now my pussy's wet.
And Miranda's very turned on by Shay.
Yeah, you know that they're gonna fuck.
Yeah. Or maybe it's a mislead and it's Carrie and Shay.
No.
Okay.
Carrie's not a lesbian.
No.
Gary. I want Carrie to transition and become Gary Bradshaw. She could do a lot of really good like suit yeah. work.
What was Susan Sharon mad about?
I don't know. Susan Sharon comes out of the woodwork looking snatched.
What was she like, which episode was she in?
She's early season. She had a husband who always screamed at her and she was like very distraught, and I think Carrie told her to leave her husband, and then it was drama because they were like, you can't tell someone to leave their husband. And then Charlotte got a Jack Russell that just like pooped all over her bed, and then they gave the Jack Russell to Susan Sharon and her husband and actually like saved their marriage.
I remember,
but I don't know what Susan Sharon is mad about.
Yeah, during the funeral they play like a slideshow of Big's life, and then she turns to her this random woman and she's like, am I the only one who remembers what a prick he was to her?
Yeah, and she comes up to her after the funeral. She's aged immaculately. Like, her fucking blonde was so good.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, Carrie, I don't care. I know. I forgive you for everything. Like, it's fine. It's water under the bridge. And Carrie is like, I have no idea what she was even referring to.
Yeah.
And so I guess more to come.
I was hoping that woman who flashed everyone at the party when she was pregnant...
Wasn't her name like Lacey or something
Lacey,
like that?
Lacey. Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. I wish she was there.
Or Tatum O'Neill.
Bring everyone back.
Carrie,
it's time.
I shouldn't have to be punished for your expensive habits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the funeral is like kind of weird.
It's kind of weird that Natasha wasn't there. And like, what about Big's first wife? Remember her?
Oh, yeah. Carrie's the third wife. And they go back to their drab apartment, which isn't cute.
Yeah, that she needs to upgrade the apartment in a huge way.
Huge way. It's very dated. And then they're in the, and she goes, well, at least that's over with. And they go, and
she and Stanny and Miranda are like, oh yeah, they go back and her hallway's full of macaroons. I was like, that's chill. I would take the macaroon towers and leave everything.
But she's like pissed.
She's furious.
And then, yeah, and then the next day that they bring the ashes over, and then she calls Miranda and Stanford over for an emergency martini. So Miranda's like, sure, I'll be there.
Chablis Hobbs was like,
she's like, hell yeah.
She's like, clear liquor, I'm in the mood.
And then Charlotte comes over and she makes Stanford hide because
she doesn't want Charlotte. This was relatable, like friend drama, where it's like she didn't want Charlotte to feel like she didn't invite her over.
Because she doesn't want Charlotte around right now, because Charlotte
will like literally cry and carry on, and Charlotte will bring Manic Mary energy to the table. So
she makes Stanford hide, and then he like skitters in the background like the nude.
I'm not good at hiding. Which I was just like, Stanford, you suck ass.
Yeah, also in the funeral, he was like weird.
He was really rude to Gloria.
He's rude to
Mario.
Are they
going to have him
get divorced and like...
Well, leave? They are going to, I think, have to maybe kill his character off. Oh, because man. How else... You can't send him to London. London like, he's living in Amsterdam.
London is like code for death.
London is like the farm where they sent Kim Richards' dog Kingsley.
They're gonna send
everyone who's like no longer with us is in London now.
they sent Samantha in one of those suicide pods. You see that?
Yeah, my obsession.
Meanwhile, Miranda was on the subway.
Miranda's having a lot of subway time with her professor, where she's just like really trying to get her to like her, and it's failing every time. But then a little
like hooligan in a Chucky, literally wearing a Chucky the doll costume
uniform
with a mask on, attacks and hit her professor.
Tries to take her backpack,
and then Miranda comes over with one of her giant books because the professor teased her like, oh, like the whole rubric's on the...
It was, yeah, there is a scene where they're all checking into to Columbia and they have to show ID, and Miranda shows her, and then the professor like can't find hers very quickly, and the security guard's like, ma'am, you're gonna have to step out of line and like wait. And then Miranda's like, sorry, excuse me, why would you let me by? And you're like giving her a hard time, like true white woman terrorist. And then
the professor's like, you did not, I think her name's Nina.
Yeah. She's like, you really escalated the situation just now. Like, it's fine.
Like, she was just doing his job. Like, it's all good.
You're then, like a white savior.
And then she remarks about how Miranda has like a ton of heavy books. And she's like, just get them on Kindle. It's like easier for you. And then she goes, I'm just old school.
She says, I love to turn the pages.
So then when she fights, she...
She waxed Chablis Hobbs.
Waxed Chucky. Chucky on the head with her giant book and gets him off her professor and saves the day. And the professor is like, thank you. And then Miranda's like, oh, I didn't know if that was like, you know, me being white savior. And she's like, no, I think you were just helping someone in need.
Jesus Christ.
And then she's like, well, it's good that I had my book and not my Kindle, because I don't think it would have done the same damage. And then the professor fist bumps her.
Yeah, they fist
bump. She's like old school. So I think they're
going to be friends. I want Miranda Chablis Hobbs to like fuck every woman she meets in just like,
yeah,
that. She's like, I want her to become a ravenous, hungry lesbian, and she gets off the booze and just onto the puss.
What if her, Carrie, and Charlotte have a threesome?
They should.
And then that's when Samantha returns.
Mm-hmm. Ladies, I'm here. And they all wooing, fuck.
And they all just fuck.
There was Dan Levy's episode of Sex in the City 3 had like a group sex with all of them in a yurt in South America. Dan Levy.
Oh, from?
From Schitt's Creek.
Oh my God, he's so good.
Yeah, and it was like a beautiful like sexual moment that like bonded them all for life. Oh, so I really think
I need to listen to that one.
Yeah, they all need to have sex.
They have to scissor.
We can't just have big jerking his hog.
No.
As, I mean, like, the only set. And Brady plowing is, like, the only... I need tits. We haven't even seen any tits yet.
We shan't see any tits.
I want some tits.
Like, in the movie when Miranda was fucking Steve. After they make up, remember?
When? When she was, ah!
No. After they meet at the bridge, and then they have makeup sex, and then they have this, like, very awkward sex.
Oh, where he's holding around her boobs so that you can't see the nip.
And she's like...
Yeah, everyone got really nip shy.
But that sex scene was so, like, I was like, oh. It was so intense.
I had a boyfriend when I was, like, in early college, and... the only way I would get him to watch Sex in the City with me is I was like, look, this show's funny and you'll get to see some boobs. And he was like, okay, fine. But, like, that was, like, the draw. I was always trying to manipulate.
Lizard brain. Fucking reptile.
Me.
Straight man. No, straight man.
I do have a lizard brain.
I mean, straight men, they're like, oh, they're tits. All right.
No, he goes, I don't want to watch this. And I go, come on. It's funny. You'll laugh in their boobs. And he was like, fine.
That's all they need.
But now you can't say, good luck to you girls trying to get your man to watch Sex in the City now. No laws and no boobs. We got to get those back in. He's gripping her. I've never, ever met... It always throws me in...
It was such a strange sex scene.
In any sex scene where a woman is having sex in a bra, I'm like, no woman does that.
No.
Like, I watched The Holiday recently, and, like, Jude Law and Cameron Diaz, like, they fuck, and then she, like, flops on the bed and is wearing a full bra. I was like, no. We just know that means you as an actress did not want to show your boobs, which is fine.
She slaps her bra on post-sex.
Or, like, you don't just, like... You're not having, like, hot, beautiful, meaningful sex and just, like, sucking and fucking with a bra on and no panties. You're like, whatever you do, don't take my bra off. The bra's the first thing to come off.
Carrie's famous for that.
Staunch bra sucker.
She loves... she gets off.
They explain it. They go, she's old school. She's like Marilyn Monroe. That was in the Sex in the City book. That's like why... She's an old romantic. That's why she doesn't take her bra off.
Okay,
no.
She has some... She's a hang-up.
SJP doesn't want her perfect hits to be seen. Show us the nips.
Yeah, and then at the end...
I loved the scene... When Charlotte's like, fine, I'll just leave. You don't want me here anyways, and you do blame me. And she's crying in the hallway. And then Carrie, this was a really good monologue where I was like, give SJP every award. She goes, I don't blame you. She's like, I just keep thinking, like, if I had gone to fucking the Hamptons, like, I wanted to do in the first place. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, I love that. I love when her voice gets that, like.
When she screams.
Yeah.
And then Phil, the neighbor.
Yeah. She's like, it's all right, Phil.
What's his story?
He killed Big.
What's his scene?
He slipped Big something.
He like, strangled Big mafia style.
And then...
Then Miranda sleeps over.
Oh, well, Carrie also slipped... I'm like, my brain's fried. Carrie texts Samantha and goes, thank you. And then we see their other texts. And it's the one before was, hi, can we talk? And then, walked by La Perla today and thought of you. Hey, London lady. And then the other one was one response from going, I can't. I'm out of town. My flight leaves tonight.
Wow.
So.
Tensions are high. Things are frayed.
Sell you at La Perla. Also, when Carrie was Googling funeral places, her Google search was funeral NYC.
That would be me trying to, like...
COVID times.
I would say best funeral parlor, NYC, and then try and get to Yelp and start reading Yelp reviews. Mm-hmm.
So then Miranda comes over for her shift, and then Carrie is, like, tossing and turning. Miranda's like, are you all right? And she said, can I have another, like, Ativan?
And she goes, not for 5 hours.
And Carrie takes her... It's raining out. It actually looked really cozy in the apartment.
It was, yeah.
And she goes out in the living room and...
Sleeps on the couch.
And then she goes, and just like that, I realized how long 5 hours really is.
But also, like, give me the pill.
I know.
It's not like she's going to OD.
Shibley Hobbs has some limits with her.
Shibley Hobbs loves to not have any boundaries with her own alcohol use, but then very firm boundaries around administering a pill to her friends.
She goes, no.
No, no, no.
Not for 5 hours.
Not for 5 hours. And then leans down and grabs some Chablis from under the bed and does a big gulp. I'm loving this show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next app.
I can't wait.
Let us know what you guys think. Thank you for the response. I'm so happy people are happy that we're doing those.
Yeah, it was what everyone needed.
It's what we needed.
Unlike certain people, we do give the people what they want.
Kim. We're looking at you.
Guys, we have to start a campaign. We've got to get her back.
It's called Kim on.
Come on. Kim on already.
Come on back from Liverpool, Kim.
Look, I'm sure people are sorry about trying to make you fuck Brady in the Sex and the City 3 movie. That was like a storyline, I think, where she like hits on Brady. I get that. Like, you had to do some really demeaning things, but I think that people will treat you with the respect you deserve.
Anyway.
Anyways, guys.
Ciao.
Love and light. Ciao.